pray in the name of Jesus, you'd grant us your sweet Holy Spirit, that he may open our eyes, our minds, to understand the message. As for what I reported earlier, I pray, Father, that hearts would receive it in the spirit in which it was given, which is a desire for the salvation of children. Father, let the message reach the hearts of the children, I pray. Bless our friends watching by the internet, dear God. And even if families don't have children, let them still realize that the TV is not the source of spiritual strength. It is a personal choice to read your word, the counsel of the pen of inspiration, and to grow thereby. So speak through me, I pray, please, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Genesis 17, reading from verse 1. Our subject is hand in hand. What did I say? Genesis, what chapter? What verse? 1. Hand in hand. The Bible says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Finish the verse. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, God tells Abraham, walk before me. Let's go to 1 Kings 15. We'll read verse 3. This is said of Abijam, the son of Rehoboam, who was a son of Solomon. Rehoboam died, according to 1 Kings 14, I believe the last verse of that chapter. And he slept with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And his son Abijam reigned in his stead. In verse 3 of chapter 15, we are told of Abijam. And he walked in what? All 1 Kings 15:3, do we have that? And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had what? Done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Now, what do you understand by he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him? What do you understand by that? He lived a sinful life. He lived a sinful life. Now go to Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38, we'll read from verse 1. Our subject is hand in hand. Isaiah 38, Isaiah is called the gospel prophet because he speaks so much about Jesus. Prophetic statements about Christ. What is Jeremiah called? The weeping prophet, because Jerusalem just would listen and he knew what was coming on Jerusalem. Isaiah 38 verse 1, and in those days Hezekiah the king was sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him what? Set thine house, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That's not the kind of message you want the male person to bring to your house. Got a letter from God, you will die tomorrow. Please make up your will. You will die. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, how I have done what? Verse 3, how I have done what? Walked before thee how? In truth and with a... and have done that which is good in thy sight. What does it mean by walk before thee in truth? Well, yes, he obeyed the truth. He lived a life in harmony with truth. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Remember when the brethren met in Galatia at Jerusalem? Settled a problem with the Gentiles who were being forced to do things that were no longer necessary. And Peter was going along with this, and Paul confronted Peter publicly. You know that story. I don't want to go into the whole thing. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. Do you have that? But when I saw that they what? Walk not uprightly, go on, according to the truth of the gospel. Now, what does that text mean? They walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. What does that mean? They did not conduct themselves in a way that was in harmony with what the gospel teaches. They walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. So to walk is to conduct oneself or to live. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Let's read verse 6 towards the back of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2, reading verse 6. Our subject is what? Hand in hand. Hand in hand. 1 John chapter 2, reading verse 6. And John was the youngest of the 12 disciples. According to Ellen White, he was the one who most closely reflected the character of Jesus. Now, he wrote his books towards the last decade of the first century. So between 90 and 100 AD, that's when he wrote his epistles, I should say, his gospel and the book of Revelation. Here's what John says. He that saith, he does what? abideth in him, 1 John 2:6, ought himself also so to walk, go on, even as he walked. What does that mean? Does that mean you walk like this? That's where Jesus walked. What does it mean? You live like Jesus. To walk is to live. To walk is to conduct yourself in all areas of life. And so John tells us, if you say you abide in Christ, you ought to walk, you ought to live, you ought to conduct your business life, your personal life, your family life, your recreational life, your financial life, your academic life, your romantic life, the way Jesus would do it. All right. Now, having said that, let me slow down. I'm so aware of the time. I ask you many times, tell me to slow down. You don't do it. Disobedience will not get you to heaven. Please tell me, preacher, slow down. Listen to Genesis 17:1 again. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, what? Walk before me. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. In other words, live a life that pleases me. Walk before me according to my standards. Go to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. You know, Amos is one of those books difficult to find. You find Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, in that little collection of minor prophets. They're minor just because they have few chapters, but their message is as major as Isaiah, which has 66 chapters. Do you have Amos chapter 3, verse 3? Read with me. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Stop. That first half of that verse is profound. Because there are a lot of Christians, and I, the universal symbol for quotation marks, who walk with the church, but not with God. Because while they agree with the church, they don't agree with the word. And so the Bible says, can two walk together except? Why do you think the word, what does the word except mean? Unless, give me another expression, for the two of them to walk together, they have to. It's a must. It's the only way. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Young man wrote me, I'm thinking of getting married. What do you think? I wrote him a long list of questions to answer. And he wrote back the answers today. And I read them, so I have to reply to him. I'm looking for oneness under Christ. Are you with me? When Christ is in the middle, all things are possible. Are you following me? So I'm looking for Christ in him, which I'm convinced Christ is in him. I'm looking for the fact that he has seen Christ in her. And that others have seen Christ in her and made that clear to him. So I'm looking for that. So that I can know, listen, the two of you can walk together. Will there be bumps? Yes. You may sprain your ankle? Yes. But you walk together. Can two walk together except they be agreed? But when you agree, what are you agreeing on? Okay, in this context, how shall we walk? Now, God tells Abram, he was called Abram, in verse 5 of that same chapter, his name was changed to Abraham. Walk before me, according to my standards, and be thou perfect. So God is literally telling Abraham, walk with me. But for two to walk together, what does the Bible say? They must what? Be agreed. But agreed on what? How to walk. But there are two. Now, there are two ways to determine how they will walk. The two of them can put their heads together and lay down the conditions. Are you following me? Which is what two human beings do. I want to marry her, so she wants to marry him. Or the two of them sit down and say, okay, We agree, I'll work, you stay home and take care of the children, and whatever. You'll be in charge of discipline, I'll be the soft person, and whatever. And they agree. And then they say, I do. Many people say, I do. Then they say, now let's agree. And that's not the way it works. Then they end up like the people in Hollywood. So the two of them can come together and lay down the conditions, or one can lay down the conditions and the other one accepts. Are you with me? Let's go to Genesis 3, verse 15. Our subject? Hand in hand. Genesis 3, verse 15. Thank you for being so gracious to let me go a little late. Do you have Genesis chapter 3? This verse you should know without looking. What does God say? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Look, let's read again. And I. Not I and Adam and Eve. This is not a group work. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God is telling the serpent, the seed of the woman will bruise your head. That's a fatal blow. You will bruise his heel. It's not fatal. Painful, but not fatal. But God says, I will do it. That's the first mention of the gospel covenant. Now let's go to Genesis 9. We read from verse 12. God is speaking to Noah. He and his family, they have just exited the ark. What the earth looked like, I shudder to think. And God makes a covenant. And God said, this is the covenant that I will make between me and thee and every living creature that is with thee for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, verse 14, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Now, God is saying, my covenant will be symbolized visually by what? The rainbow. Meaning, when you see it, it's a promise from me, a reassurance, I will never destroy the earth. How? By a flood again. Never. At least not a flood of water, a flood of fire is coming. I won't do that, says God. That's my covenant. But you'll observe, he says, this is whose covenant? My covenant. Let's go to Genesis 12. We read from verse 1 of Genesis 12. Our subject is hand in hand. The Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And, come on, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. And you can read, I will curse them that curse thee, even though it's not written there. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Who made the covenant? Whom laid down the conditions? Who had to say yes or no? Abraham. You go back to Genesis 9. The Noahic covenant. Who made that covenant? It was his. Who laid down the conditions? God. Who had to say yea or nay? Noah. Back to Genesis 3. Who made that covenant? God. Who had to accept it? Adam and Eve. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. You read from verse 1. Exodus 20, reading verse 1. You have that, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. I love to use it as scripture reading. And God did what? Spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he goes all the way down to verse 17, giving the Ten Commandments, the basis of the covenant with Israel, the Ten Commandments. The Israelites had to do one of two things. What was that? Accept or reject. They had no contribution to the contents of the covenant. Now, they had a contribution to a covenant they made. Let's go to verse 8. What does that say? Sorry, not verse 8 of chapter 19. Verse 8 of chapter 19. Verse 8 of chapter 19. Verse 8 of chapter 20 is also good. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. Now that was their covenant. That's what's called the old covenant. We'll do this. I got this. Let's do this. You know what people have to say? Let's do this. Mm-mm. It is let God do this in me with my surrender. So the only covenant we have where people made it was the one that failed. The old covenant. We will do it. Not realizing, having grown up in Egypt and had been Egyptianized, they had no power to keep God's law. My brothers and sisters, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no, they must agree. Who sets the conditions? It depends on the person with whom you're walking. If you're walking with God, who sets the conditions? God. What's your responsibility? Say yes or no. In other words, take it or leave it. Now, here's what many of us do. We include some indexes or indices, a little addition, a rider to this contract. Huh? Let me give an example. I read for you in Genesis chapter 2. Well, let's go to Genesis 20, verse 8. Let's read that. Read 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, most of the world, now that's part of God's condition. The condition of salvation is obedience. Are you listening to me? Let me say it again. Someone will say, well, he's preaching salvation by works. Mm-mm. Listen to me. The condition of salvation is obedience. Amen. Salvation has conditions. Amen. And God set all the elements of the condition. The seventh day isn't the day I want you to observe as a holy day. Most of the world says Sunday. And then we ask God to accept that condition so that he and we can walk together. But God does not agree. Are you with me? No, you're not with me. Are you with me?
Yes.
So we've got a problem. Because God is headed towards the seventh day and you're heading towards Sunday. And yet you're walking with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We have to agree on which day. And we have to accept God's day. God does not accept ours. Can two walk together except they agreed? To walk hand in hand, we must be next to each other. God says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. There are people who say, based on one text, which they misunderstand, misinterpret. Anything is good for food. Based on 1 Timothy 4, I believe it's verse 3 and 4. And God says, no. From way back before they were Jews, Genesis 7, I told Moses, Noah, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by seven, the male and the female. And if beasts are not clean, by two, the male and the female. I want more clean than unclean. From way back, God differentiated clean and unclean. When they came out of the ark, Genesis 9, verse 4, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. From way back, long before they were Jews, God said, don't eat blood. So when you eat your steak rare, by the way, one of the reasons why we shouldn't eat meat, can you verify all the blood is out? I didn't hear you. Does the Bible say we should not eat blood, yes or no? Yes. When you eat a ribeye steak from Red Lobster, are you sure all the blood has been taken out? Then if you and I are not sure, what's the safest path to take? Don't eat it. And the church said, you have me begging tonight, but it's okay. I'm begging nice people. We have to walk together. There are some churches that preach, sinners will burn in hell forever. Even though God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Someone burning forever is not dead. You're not listening. Someone burning forever is not dead. So God says, sinners will be destroyed, root and branch. You say they'll burn forever. How can the two of you walk together? Go to 1 John chapter 2. Let's read verse 8. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. Do you have that? One person has it. Anyone else? Okay. Anyone in the back has it? Okay, sister, God bless you. Let's read together. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Now read nice and loud the last part. Which thing is in and in? Listen to me carefully. To walk hand in hand with God. Based on that verse, what has to happen? What is true in God must be true where? In us. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. The seventh day Sabbath, is that true in God? Come on, your yes is weak. Is it true in most of the world? No. Dead people are dead. Is that true in God? Is it true in most of the world? No. Sinners shall be destroyed. Is that true in God? Is that true in most of the world? Then most of the world does not walk with God. When I say most of the world, most of the Christian world. Makes no difference what you say. The only way to walk with God is to walk in harmony with his conditions. Did the Pharisees go to church? Very often. And I always say to go to church more than Jesus. Did they walk with Jesus? Did the Sadducees go to church? Were the Sanhedrin holy men of the church? Yes. When Jesus raised Lazarus, the Pharisees said, we have to kill Jesus and Lazarus to remove all the evidence. They walked with the church. They did not walk with God. My brothers and sisters, religion is not an exercise in self-deception. It is better to leave God alone than to pretend to follow God. Now, this is particularly true, I hope I'm being careful with my words, in the Laodicean period of the church, which is the period in which we live. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of. God says, pick one. Either before me or against me in such a clear way that people are not misled. Most of the Christian world is lukewarm and does not walk with God. Because to walk with God, the two people must be agreed. Question for you. As you look at your life, I look at mine. Are we agreed with God? Are you about to marry someone not of your faith? What does 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 say? Be not unequally, you shouldn't have to look, you should know it. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You do that, you're not walking with God in that part of your life. What does God's servant say? To connect with an unbeliever is to place yourself on Satan's ground. You grieve the Spirit of God and forfeit his protection. You know what forfeit means? Give up. Walk with God. Train up a child in the way he should go. That's what the Bible says. When the TV trains your child, you're not walking with God. I hate to sound so severe, and I don't mean to. Would you believe me if I said I'd like to see the entire Remnant Church membership in the kingdom? I'm not joking. I'd like to see every one of you in God's kingdom with my little brothers and sisters who lead the song service so beautifully. But we must walk with God on his terms, not ours. If you and I are walking on our terms tonight, we need to stop and say, Father, I am sorry. While I have life today, I don't know about tomorrow, let me walk according to your way, so that you and I may walk how? Hand in hand. Anything different from that, however ceremonial it may look, however colorful it may be, however infused with pageantry it may be and pomp and ceremony, if it is not according to God, it is just an attractive way to be lost. I believe every single one of us wants a place in God's kingdom. If you were to tell me you don't want a place, I would not believe you. I would say you're under the influence of something. You're not thinking right. Every single person wants a place in God's kingdom. No one wants to burn alive. Have you ever put your hand accidentally on a hot stove? You see how fast you move it? You put your hand on the stove of hell, you can't move it. It has to stay until your hand becomes ashes. Now that's not what people like to hear. They like to hear, here's how to get rich. I don't know how to get rich. So don't look to me. I can tell you how to get to heaven. I can tell you how to have your sins forgiven. How to get along with your neighbor. How to forgive the person against whom you have a grudge right now. But I can't tell you how to get rich. Go ask Joel Osteen or somebody. Because I don't know. Do you not want to walk with God? With all your heart? How many of you? Can I see your hand? God bless you. Stand up with me, please. So 20 to 9. Let's be agreed with God. Here's my question for you. If there is someone, listen to me carefully. Well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, if I have been too hard, forgive me. I don't mean to be hard, dear God. But we live in a world where most sermons are so soft that people are misled into thinking all you do is save and you don't destroy. And that's not biblical. These soft sermons blind us to the fact that sin is a terrible crime against you. And you hate it. And so as we've listened to God to this message hand in hand, can two walk together except they be agreed? If your spirit has touched our hearts, I believe it has. Father, I'm asking you to put it in our hearts tonight to seriously examine whether or not we are walking in agreement with our God. Dear God in heaven, we want a place in your kingdom. Your kingdom is coming more surely than Christmas. And I ask you, God, now as I make this appeal, you'll touch hearts. Please, because I can't touch them. Again, I say, if I've said anything too hard, forgive me. If I've put off someone, not with the truth, but perhaps the way I said it, forgive me. But you know in my heart, I want to see your people saved. And while the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if there's any man, woman, boy, or girl, you know in your heart, you have not been walking with God according to his conditions. And you want to say tonight, Father, I want to walk with you in agreement, I agreeing with you. If you want to make that commitment, come. Listen to me again. I know I have not been walking with God. I want to change that tonight and say, Father, I want to walk hand in hand with you by living according to your conditions, not mine. If that's your decision, come. I have not been walking with God as I should. I want you to come. We'll pray. I'll let you go. Just come. Don't be afraid. Just come right here. God bless you. God bless you. I want to walk with God. It's the safest life to live, and the safety extends from this life to the life to come. Let me say it again. It's the safest life to live. Because your upright walk with God produces blessings for others. What does God say in Deuteronomy 5:29? Oh, that there was such a heart in them that it would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. I have not been walking with God the way I should. Father, I'm sorry. Tonight I make a decision. I want to walk with God. And how I walk with God is found in this. Anyone else? And I pray, let you go. Anyone else? I want to walk with God. And the only way to do that is to be agreed with him, not he with us. You can walk with the church, that's fine, and not agree with God. You cannot walk with God unless you agree with him. Come, sister, God bless you. Then I pray, heads bowed, heads closed. 60 seconds and I pray. The call is, I know in my heart I have not been walking with God in my business, my home life, whatever. Tonight, I want to decide, as the Spirit touches my heart, I want to walk with God, and he will set the conditions. Come, 30 seconds. Don't let Jesus say to you what he said to those people in Matthew 7:21-23. They said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Just never knew you. Always in church, but God doesn't know us. We don't want that. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, look at your sons and daughters who've come. Father, these 2 weeks of revival were not organized just for display, out of habit, just to have something to do. There is some man, some woman, some boy, some girl for whom you specifically arranged this event to reach that person's life. It may be one, or one dozen. Father in heaven, you said in your word, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. You have waited up to this day in this two-week revival, not willing that any should perish. Because you are so long-suffering, dear God, you command your Spirit to work with even greater energy to convict stubborn hearts. Why hearts are stubborn against you, Father, I don't understand. But I have done it myself. Now, dear God, soften hearts. The way you pull down the walls of Jericho, pull down the walls of resistance that people have built around their hearts simply because they want to live their lives their way. And their way is the wrong way, because your word says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But the way that is right in your sight is the way of life, and we want life. And so, Father, bless those who've answered a call, dear God. And for those who should have come but are struggling, and many people have an honest struggle, work on their hearts, I pray. And as we leave this church tonight, dear God, those of us who've come to make that decision to walk with God, let no power change our minds. Let heaven and earth see we've made up our minds to walk with God, to be agreed with God, and to live our lives from henceforth forward hand in hand with the supernatural power of our Savior. Then use our lives to inspire others, I pray. Bless this church, dear God. Bless the visitors, the friends, the supporters. Take us all home safely, guarded by your angels. Bring us back tomorrow, Father, in this place tomorrow morning to hear your word again. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being so patient and so stubborn in your desire to save us. Thank you for that. Bring us back tomorrow, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let God's people say amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.